The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
Welcome to the Music Room,
a program featuring a combination of new music and interviews with musicians from a wide variety of genres.
And now, the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Amanda Richard, and I'm down here with
Allison Delaney.
And Allie and I are going to chat with the Rail Splitters on the Music Room on WVUD.
Well, she lives all alone on a dark, windy street, in a room at the top of the stairs. Smokes cigarettes and stares at the wall, not knowing that my heart lives there. In the cool of the night, she takes me inside and helps me with my troubles and my pain.
Good morning, everybody. And that was the Rail Splitters doing Room at the Top of the Stairs, a song that banjo player Dusty Ryder brought to the band, according to mandolinist Peter Sharp. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just great. And you've got Lauren there as well?
Yep, I'm here.
Lauren Stovall, the lead singer on most of the tracks on the new record and also a fine guitar player. Your website says you guys play unconventional bluegrass from Boulder, Colorado. What the heck do you mean right by that?
That's a good question. We're always asking ourselves that question as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it means we're playing on traditional instrumentations. We have the instrumentation of like a normal five-piece bluegrass band, but we're just not playing traditional bluegrass. We're kind of playing what we write, which happens to be just a whole bunch of different things.
So how has your band's music evolved from your self-titled album, The Rail Splitters, to your newest album, Jump In?
Our first album, the self-titled one, is fairly more traditional. We started out as more or less a bluegrass cover band about 6 years ago, and then we started writing our own music, and it was very much more traditional than our music is today. And as we've been playing and writing more and more music, sort of our influences have sort of naturally come through the writing. And we all grew up listening to different types of music and have different musical interests outside of bluegrass. And sort of over time, like I said, although the instrumentation has stayed the same, the arrangements and the sounds that are coming out are a little slightly less traditional as far as bluegrass goes.
I think it's pretty funny. You know, look at your bios and Lauren, you're from Mississippi, and Peter was born in Brazil, and Dusty's from New England. I mean, goodness gracious, you guys brought all sorts of different things. It's not just the bluegrass tradition at all.
No.
Yeah, we're from all over the place.
One of the things that your new record, Jump In, really reminded me of, and I do not mean this in any kind of way that's not saying that it's a derivative of anything, but it just reminded me, I could hear the influence of like some of those early David Grisman quintet records from the late 1970s.
Yeah,
you know, just
oh, cool, yeah,
Hear the variation in rhythms and hear the variation in melody structures and another thing I noticed was that this record, the new record, Dusty's banjo is way back in the mix. It's like he's part of the ensemble, not stepping up front like a traditional bluegrass banjo player.
Yeah, you know, I think in part that had to our producer, Kai Welch, I think that had to do with how he wanted to mix things, too. And, you know, again, I think the instruments tended to be a little bit more, like you said, sort of part of an ensemble. And my impression was that he wanted it to be, you know, he wanted the music to kind of speak rather than like a solo to pop out like, oh, well, watch what this person is doing now, to have it be more sort of in the spirit of just the song, what serves the song.
Yeah, I think
if that makes sense.
It does, and it's like one of the reasons that I mean, when we get to the new record, the people will hear the difference. I mean, Room at the Top of the Stairs, while being a modern song, not something that goes back to Flat and Scruggs or Bill Monroe, it still is a pretty, if you will, I know this sounds like an oxymoron, but a traditional new bluegrass song.
Yeah, right.
And sure. Anyway, so I think Hallie wanted to ask you about some of your world touring stuff.
Yeah, so what are you guys going to be doing in Australia?
We'll be there for about a month. We have a bunch of festivals that we're doing, one being the Woodford Folk Festival, which we're really excited about. That'll be the first thing that we do. From there, we play there, and then we take a week off to explore and be tourists. And then we play a couple more shows and festivals over the next 3 weeks or so, or 2 weeks, I guess I should say. Yeah, it'll be our first time over there. So to be honest, we don't exactly know what to expect, but we're really looking forward to that trip and think it's going to be a really interesting, fun time. And then from there, we fly to the UK, and we're there for 3 weeks, which we've been there before. So we've got a better idea of what we have going on there. But I think, yeah, for Australia, we're just really excited to get the chance to go out. And we've been working with some people from the Woodford Folk Festival who are putting that tour on for us, and we're super grateful for that relationship. And if anybody has suggestions for what we should do while we're there,
let us know.
Send them our way.
I guess if you're inviting people to contact you, one of you should plug your website.
Yeah, find us at therailsplitters.com. That's got all of our tour dates on it. And if you know people in Australia or in the UK, that's where you can send them to check out our dates and come see us play.
How did people in the UK react to your music the first time you were there?
You know, we've gotten a good reaction there. There's a really good sort of bluegrass Americana scene, which we did not expect. It's funny, you know, we joke about like the first time we played for audiences there, we just thought we were totally bombing because it's just different audiences. They're very polite. They're very quiet. So we played like our first set, and at set break, we're like, oh no, they hate us. What are we doing? And then all these people came up and bought CDs and were super, you know, nice and saying all these compliments. And then we kind of got it, that it's like, oh no, they like it. They're not hooting and hollering in the same way that, you know, like an American audience would.
That's interesting. I think I'm old enough, older than you guys, that I remember a lot of that cross-pollination back and forth between, you know, the American folk invasion and, you know, the British and Irish traditional folk going back and forth across the Atlantic. And there really is a lot of cross-pollination. I think it's cool that they react positively to your, quote, unconventional bluegrass, not just to the people who go over to do traditional American music.
Yeah, I think in a sense, you know, it's like, I don't think they're at all fazed by this sort of unconventional thing. You know, my impression was there's not the same kind of maybe staunch traditionalists there. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, I've never really heard anyone in the UK say, oh, you guys are not, you know, traditional bluegrass. It's like they just sort of rolled with it. And they're like, you know, we like the music, so that's all that matters.
Well, before we get on to something from the new record, I think Allie wants to ask you a question, Peter, about your background in composition.
Yeah, Peter, so on your bio it says you have a background in psychology. How does that affect your music?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it definitely affects kind of how I see, like, interpersonal dynamics. And I don't know if I can see a direct link between, like, having a background in psychology and how I write music. Maybe when I write lyrics, which I don't do a ton of in this band, I can see sort of some themes kind of coming through in what I'm drawn to. I don't know, Lauren, maybe Lauren can speak to it.
No, I think you said it well. Those things probably naturally come through subconsciously through the lyrics and whatnot, but he's definitely been our band therapist.
Although I would say it's fun. I think I got asked that sometimes, like, well, how does it affect, you know, how do you interact with the band? And I just feel like everybody is actually, like, nobody needs any issue or any help in the band. I feel like everybody kind of takes care of their own needs on the road. And, you know, everybody's, like, journaling in the morning and going for hikes. So I feel like the band's doing okay without
We've got the mental health thing.
Yeah, that's all right. We're doing okay.
We're talking with Peter Sharp and Lauren Stovall from the Rail Splitters here on the Music Room on WVUD, and we're about to let them pick out a track from their new record, Jump In. Tell us about the production, what went into making this record, and Lauren, I think you did a lot of the writing on this. I mean, talk to us. Let the folks hear your thoughts behind the record before we start playing music from it.
Okay, yeah, I wrote some of the songs, but I definitely did not write most of them. I think it was just another collective effort.
Okay.
but I did contribute more on this record than I did on our second album, The Faster It Goes. I just go through these phases where writing comes a little easier, and then I take a long break from writing, and then I'll pick it up again probably a year or two after I take a break. So I don't write as much as I want, but there are a lot of songs that I think are mistaken for me having written them. I think there's that Something Sweet, which Dusty wrote, which is actually told from the perspective of a female that's getting a lot of unwanted passes. And a lot of people think, because I sing that one, especially because of the storyline, that it's won by me, but it is not, in fact. It was a Dusty Rider original. And, you know, this there was a kind of a long span of songs coming out for this record that we've kind of been playing for a while, but haven't really done anything with them other than play them live, you know. And so it was good to finally get them on a recording. Lessons I've Learned is one of those. That's one that I wrote a couple years ago. You know, you get it in your mind that these are new songs, and we've actually had that one for a while now. We were in Steamboat Springs teaching middle schoolers how to play bluegrass music on their band and orchestra instruments. And we spent a lot of time up in the mountains and just kind of got this urge to write a song because we were feeling so inspired from the week. And that song in particular, Lessons I've Learned, was one of the, like, kind of a record-breaking song as far as speed goes, from writing it to performing it, I think was like a matter of 3 hours. And I don't think it's changed really at all since we first played it that night. Changed very little, I should say. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, there's just sort of a theme on this record, I think, that has come out. I think there was just a lot of issues that we all decided, you know, were some relevant issues. And it seemed like an appropriate time to write some of these songs and to record them. And happy that Joe, our new fiddle player, was able to contribute too. He wrote a couple of the songs on the album as well. And yeah, it was fun to put out something that feels pretty relevant as far as social issues these days.
Well, you just talked about two of the tracks on here, Something Sweet or Lessons I've Learned. Which one would you like us to play for the folks?
Start with Lessons, I would say.
Sure, okay. Lessons I've Learned.
Here comes Lessons I've Learned from the Rail Splitters' new record, Jump In, on the Music Room on WVUD.
You never worried about me. You never worried about all the suffering or any song I sing. You only always told me.
Lessons I've Learned from the Rail Splitters' new album, Jump In, and you're listening to The Music Room. We're talking to Peter and Lauren from the band right now.
So we were just talking about some of the exigencies of traveling off the air.
That's right.
I can remember my youngest sister was told by an airline once that you can't take that viol on the plane with you. And she said,
"Oh man,
it's like, I can't check it. It's worth more than I am. My dad will kill me."
Exactly.
But
we've been through that too many times.
That is a challenge. Great. I mean, not so much for Mr. Mandolin and Mr. Fiddle probably, but for Miss Guitar and Mr. Banjo and Mr. Bass, that can be quite an issue.
It you know, the bass in particular, it's like airlines are so inconsistent about basses. And sometimes we've been told that you should like always lie and say it's a cello. We found that to be somewhat true. If you say it's a bass, you can just see some people from the airlines just, you know, automatically they just shut down or like, nope, we can't take that.
Pick a cello.
Or if it were, or you just say it's a large cello, and then we'll take it.
Oh, okay. I know what that is. A large cello. Fine. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Oh man.
What's the funniest place you guys have played so far?
Funniest?
Sure.
Huh.
Oh, man.
You know, this one's been coming up for me since we're talking about the UK. I keep coming back to this when you were asking Pete questions about the audiences in the UK. There's definitely that vibe of everybody's really reserved and quiet. And then there was this one show that we played the last time that we were there where we don't know. We were like, where did we just step into? It was a great venue called Lethem Nights. They do a just a concert series like at their local,
community center.
Their little hall for the city. And it was just so fun because we had been in the UK for a while. This was toward the end of our tour, I think. And then we show up to this place and this whole family is just decked this place out in decorations. And we were like, this is going to be fun. They were super sweet to us. And then the town, as they started pouring in the doors that night, it was a sold out show. And all we could think was like, there's something in the water here. They were so rowdy.
Oh, that's right.
And they were so in tune with like, they were just ready to hear some music. They danced all night so hard. It was just such a contrast from the rest of the tour. You know, maybe it was one of the funnier, but also like funnest gigs I think that I can remember. It was just such great hospitality. Yeah, it's just like a little small town. It felt like a teeny tiny festival. In all happening in one little night. And I would say that one stands out for me. I don't know about Pete's funniest gig.
I don't know. The one I thought you were going to bring up, maybe on the same tour, and I think it was our last show of the tour, maybe it was Belfast. And we showed up, and it was kind of a strange gig, but we started playing, and we're like looking out the window, and there's like a circus basically like happening like sort of all around us. There's these guys going by on stilts and clowns and stuff.
Mind you, the stage is set up in front of this big large window. We're like playing at a coffee shop on a Sunday afternoon, like matinee show, and there's behind the stage this huge window, and there is a clown on stilts walking back and forth. I think she was walking like a duck on a rope or something.
It was so surreal. It was just like a strange last gig to have with basically a circus happening at the same time as we were playing.
When you guys are touring, do you ever return back to the same festivals?
Yeah, we've done some of that. Rocky Grass is sort of our home festival in Lyons. put on by Planet Bluegrass, and we've played that one a few times now. Where else have we played repeats? Up in Worland, Wyoming, they have a barbecue and bluegrass festival. We've been to that a few times.
We haven't done a ton of repeats yet. I don't know if we've been a band long enough to return to festivals. Hopefully these people will have us back. Some that we'd like to come back to are Del Valle is great. We liked that festival a lot.
That was super fun.
Grey Fox was one that we'd like to go back to.
Yeah, those are both, I mean, of course, Delaware Valley Bluegrass Festival is my home festival here in Delaware, even though it's now hosted across the river in New Jersey. And it's one of the things they're proud of is bringing in new music and not just bluegrass. You know, I mean, Asleep at the Wheel played this year and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that's really cool, too, for a band like you that you really have, you've got the Appalachian influence, but you've got all these other influences coming out in your music as well.
Yeah, everybody's listening to a lot of different stuff. And, you know, Dusty often talks about like hip hop influence and his stuff. And Lauren and I have been listening to a lot of like old samba and stuff. And I think that's kind of, you know, it just sort of works its way subtly into what we're writing, I think.
You mentioned Dusty Ryder, you and Lauren and Dusty are the three remaining original members. Tell us about the other two people who are in the band.
Oh, gosh. Well, Leslie just left the band just a few months ago to take a job in Shanghai. So she and her husband moved over there, and she is currently a teacher teaching music, I think, at an international school in Shanghai. And it seems like they're having a great time.
But then she's been replaced by Jean-Luc Davis?
Yep, Jean-Luc Davis from Denver, Colorado. He, you know, we chose Jean-Luc in part because he kind of comes from the jazz world. He's played with a lot of the jazz greats, and we wanted somebody that wasn't, you know, not to say just a bluegrass bassist, but somebody who had different influences. And he's been great in that respect, so he can kind of play anything that we throw at him. So he's done a great job and is just a super great all-around guy.
And Joe Despacito, did I say that close to right on the fiddle?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Despacito. Joe he's great, too. We met him. He moved to Denver a couple years ago from Long Island, and he is a character. He keeps us definitely on our toes in the band and keeps us all laughing. And he's a great musician, super creative, and so it was fun to have him join.
Make some mean pasta as well.
Yep, make some mean pasta. Yeah, so it's been fun. You know, it's always hard. Band personnel is always a challenge to deal with because there's a lot of logistical stuff. And when Christine left, I mean, every time somebody's left the band, you know, everybody always wonders, oh, were there hard feelings or did you guys break up? And it was never anything like that. It's just like when somebody's ready to move on, they're ready to move on, and you can't hold that against them. I mean, it's part of being in a band is expecting eventual turnover, and you know, people have their own lives and priorities, and there's always a lot of like young, maybe unemployed musicians that are sort of ready to get in a tour bus, and that's also fun. It's fun to meet new pickers and see what they bring to the table.
We're talking with Lauren Stovall, who you just heard, and Peter Sharp from the Rail Splitters. We probably should play another song for the folks and then say our goodbyes for the morning and let you get back to the beach. What song would you like to play next off of Jump In, your new record?
Well, I think we have to play the title song. We should play Jump In.
All right. We shall do that. You guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks, Richard. It was really fun.
We look forward to seeing you again somewhere on the trail, whether it be in the Qatar airport or or, you know, in the Vancouver airport or if you get back east
there.
Again. Yeah. Okay. Here come the Rail Splitters and Jump In, the title track from their new record on WVUD.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Said, I got a mind to go down to the river bend.
Listening to The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 New York.
For more information about this and other episodes, visit sites.udel.edu/TMR.
Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m.
for The Music Room on WVUD.